Welcome to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. If you plan a holiday outing that involves food and or drink, now's the time to book it. For some, the holidays are the only time of the year they splurge on a night out for dinner and drinks. For others, it's all about the venue, what sings to them of celebration, tradition, and fun, and where they can gather with friends and family. That's what we're talking about this hour. Joining us now are WOSU food critics, Rich Terapak Sr. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ann. Good to be
and,
here.
And Steve Stover.
Good morning.
Back. And a special guest today, Columbus Underground restaurant critic and longtime friend of All Sides, Miriam Bowers Abbott. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We were so glad that you said, yay, that this is something you like to talk about.
Oh, I like to talk about
the
food.
Yeah,
and Christmas, I associate with a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
So sugar is my favorite food group. And
you couldn't tell, could you?
Yeah, no, you could not.
I know, surprise. Yeah. Well, you know, there was Buddy the Elf. He kind of established that sugar is the official Christmas food when he put all that syrup on his spaghetti.
No, Buddy the Elf. So many moments of wisdom in that movie. So dining out during the holidays has a special feel to it because you're doing it usually in a group.
Right.
With friends and loved ones.
Exactly.
Kind of a thing.
That's the whole point. I think dining together, either at home or at a restaurant, is the greatest social convention because you're there together. You have to converse. Hopefully there's no TV on the wall.
Mm-hmm. The phones have been put away.
And the phones are...
Yeah, check them at the door.
Mm-hmm. And it's just the greatest. That's the one thing why I insist on when we have a family gathering is we have a meal together no matter how chaotic things are.
Right, yeah. Right. Listeners, we want to hear what your ideas are for dining out for the holidays. What rings true for you this time of year? The number to call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can also post on our Facebook page. We welcome that as well. And we're not necessarily Miriam talking about big bucks.
Oh, well, probably we're probably never talking
absolutely
about big
bucks
because I'm kind of lowbrow.
Yeah.
So and there's a lot of the things that I've seen that are available this year have a kind of a low end, I would say, buy-in point, like Columbus Food Adventures and Brew Adventures, that they're sponsoring a tour of holiday eating in the Short North with like six stops with noshes and little drinks. I think it's $65 a person to get in on that. And that's not so awful.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, for six stops.
No, yeah, I know that's a lot.
$10
a stop.
And transportation.
Yeah, transportation.
And information. And of course, you're with, with people that you care about.
Good for both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What screams holiday to you, Steve Stover?
Well, I think decor is part of it. I like to, the most important thing for me is, can we have, particularly for the holidays, but for romantic occasions as well, is can we have a conversation?
Okay.
So that can drive. I don't have – John Christensen used to have a noise meter. So I don't take a noise meter, but I think there are certain places that really – and with the sort of decline in fine dining, there are fewer places – I don't need white tablecloths, but I'd like to have a very nice atmosphere. And
but sometimes the tablecloths can absorb some of the sound.
They do. They do, absolutely. Yeah.
Seriously.
And some of my wine drippings and stuff like that.
That's right.
What about you, Rich?
You know, holidays to me are just, I guess, gathering with lots of friends, maybe at sequential parties, perhaps. Some of those may be in a restaurant. Some of those are in homes or wherever. It's just great to see people you've known for a long time and you like a lot at the holidays.
Isn't that a funny thing, though? They're often people that you're with all the time.
Yeah, but things are so busy and so crazy that I think I'm echoing what Rich said. You know, and during the holidays, it seems to somehow be a little more relaxed when you're socializing. You're not rushing off. You're there with your friends and the twinkling lights and the cozy fire and stuff like that, and then maybe a glass of wine and
maybe
somehow it
and the
to
Christmas
me it blends itself
and the Christmas too,
yeah, the holiday,
I mean, I said to Roberta last night that isn't it amazing about every 11 months these things start up and they're still good and you still like it and it still gives you
actually it's about every 9 months they started the holiday tunes right after
I don't turn them on until after Thanksgiving.
You know, I was thinking about what you were talking about with there being a special dynamic when people eat out. And I think it's worth mentioning that a lot of times when you eat in a home, then someone has to have the host duties. And the host is not usually part of the conversation because the host is too busy timing things and making sure everything happens. So that's one
and
of the—
And they've done that.
I bet you have. I know you have, actually. And even though I'm not the cook in the house, you know, I'm clearing the dishes and I'm doing things and missing out on a lot of conversation and a lot of the events of the holidays.
So being out and about together frees everybody up.
Right.
To focus on. Yeah. We were talking last night, went to a little event before the Harmony Project concert last night, and someone said, you know, the food. And I said, hey, you know what? Somebody else made it. It was good because somebody else made it. That's part of the magic, no matter what. So, listeners, we are talking about holiday eating out today. It is our All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. You've heard from Steve Stover and Rich Terebek, our WSU food critics, and also with us, Columbus Underground restaurant reviewer Miriam Bowers Abbott. And we're talking about what you like to do for the holidays when it comes to eating out.
One of the things I think would be important to talk about is gifts of food or food adventures, as you were mentioning the Bethia's trip through the short north. Buying a gift certificate, I think, is a wonderful thing to somebody's favorite restaurant, or Dine Originals, is a good one because you've got a selection of 48 different restaurants you can go to. Mm-hmm. Great personal but still impersonal gifts to give to, like, work associates and others.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we're done talking about restaurants, there's a whole host of things from wine to cream of nuts. And I was just at Thurn's yesterday.
Fruitcake. You want to talk? Yeah, Miriam wants to talk about fruitcake.
You get the one from Texas? Yeah. You get the one from Texas, the very famous.
I have not
Corsicana,
ever had that one.
Texas.
If someone wants to give me a gift, though.
Oh, yeah. I was at Thurn's yesterday thinking about their house-made hams and sausages and stuff like that. I might have bought some along the
way. Not just thinking about it, buying it. Yeah. So how do you think – so, Steve, for you, it's that ability to carry on a conversation, and I completely agree.
And one more thing. I might go different places during the holidays because I do 25 restaurant reviews a year, and so much of the year I'm bustling around trying to find someplace new to go. So I pick – obviously, some of my old favorites, I think is one of the other different parts about the holiday. That it's probably someplace you've been a bunch of places before. Mm-hmm. One of the best values in Columbus, for example, is the bistro menu at the Refectory.
Right.
Three courses. You have a choice of each one for $29.95. We're thinking about doing that as one of our holiday stops.
You know it's going to be good.
Oh, it's a –
You know the ambiance is going to have that festive
a great
note.
Wine list and absolutely great conversation places because it's pretty quiet.
It's cozy. And
some of Kamal's programs, productions, he does 100 different events dealing with – he had an opera one recently. That's also fun. It's a cozy room. It's decorated not as much conversation because you got to listen to the people sing. But we were at one of those a couple weeks ago and the food was phenomenal.
You go to the music things?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah. So that's a good way to, kind of entertain with friends as well.
Well, what about you? Pick one, Miriam.
What? Pick one. Pick one.
One of your favorite places to go during the holidays.
Your go-to, the holiday go-to.
Oh, gosh.
Can't be Jenny's.
I know.
It's not just for dessert anymore.
Okay, wait. Tonight, since you said that, tonight at Crafted Draft in Hilliard, they are having a holiday ice cream tasting that does involve Jenny's. You didn't think I could take that and go somewhere, did you? And it will feature...
Peppermint stick.
It will feature a lot of beer, which someone else can drink.
Yep.
And I think four Jenny's seasonal flavors, pumpkin spice. Let's see if I can do it. Eggnog, I think, is another one. Sweet potato and cognac and toasted marshmallow.
Wow.
There you go.
There. That would be my idea of a dinner.
Someone
else can drink
nice.
It. And I will eat
ice
cream.
You can get your vitamin D and your carbs from the beer.
It's high risk for osteoporosis right here. I mean, you can look at me and tell. So all the ice cream in the world I need. Yes.
Yeah, calcium.
I want to hear from Amy in Columbus. She's got a great idea and she addresses one of your issues. Hi, Amy. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to put a plug in for a great place for people who live in downtown Columbus. It's a great getaway. It's the Boathouse. Don't forget it. The food is vastly improved. The scenery cannot be beat. You've got a roaring fireplace, and you're not competing with televisions and all of that.
The TV thing is a big deal these days to me.
Yeah, and parking, yeah. too, by the
it's
way.
It's sort of shocking. Yeah, there's free parking at the Boathouse. That's a great idea, Amy. Thanks.
And the food has greatly improved.
Very much. Yeah. I've only been there for large events, like but I agreed on that
I
score.
Made a list of the 20 places that I thought of earlier, but one place I left off that I think would be another good example would be the Worthington Inn.
I was going to say it's Currier and
Ives. Yeah, that would be one of mine. Yep. And you can go into the bar, uh-huh. or what do they call
tavern.
It, the pub, or whatever. Is it tavern? Is that what they're calling it? Mm-hmm. And that's a delightful place, and it's a little less formal, but just as cozy and lovely.
Sometimes
and
they have
a great
trio.
Happy hour.
Right, happy Kelvin. Hour on Fridays.
Yeah. One that is on your list that I saw was Lupo, and the first thing I thought of when I saw that it was, oh, and then you can drive through Upper Arlington and look at all the lights.
I still haven't been to Lupo.
Oh, it's great.
It's great. It's not quiet. It's sort of bustling. But it is – the thing I like about it is that it's all Spanish, Portuguese, and some Italian tapas, very authentic Spanish, well done, a very nice wine list. And you just get little – two or three little bites of each thing, mm-hmm. and most of them were under $10. We usually get some olives and some nuts and
– the veal meatball or the lamb meatball.
Lamb meatball. You had that, yeah. So it's a very – nice place. It's very relaxing. Mary and I had a date night, and that's where we went recently.
Aren't all your nights date nights?
Well, this was
special.
Special.
Okay.
The other thing that I think about, and it happened, I guess, more frequently probably before the recession, et cetera, was large groups of fellow employees going to lunch. And probably blowing 3 hours of the workday on a nice lunch. And it's hard to find places, I think, you know, there are lots of places to go, but something that's a little bit more elegant is tough to find. And I think you can really count on places like some of the downtown hotel restaurants, the Galleria, for mm-hmm. instance, mm-hmm. at the Hilton, the Guildhouse, mm-hmm. which is open for lunch. Not a lot of the very fine restaurants are open at lunchtime, mm-hmm. but the Guildhouse, the Galleria.
Because they're both hotels. They're open for breakfast and lunch right. and dinner. And,
and on Christmas Day, because hotels are open on Christmas
Day. That's right.
Day.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. So they're captive.
Usually it's like a buffet or something like that to give their staff a break. But it's usually.
And some other places open for lunch only during the holidays. I'm pretty sure Refectory will open for lunch.
I've looked it up, and it's not on the website. Okay. I was sort of disappointed about that. But there aren't a lot of fine dining restaurants that are open at lunchtime.
Okay. Well, we are talking about how you celebrate the holidays with food and out. And coming up later, we're going to talk about, you know, gifts of food and drink for the holidays. We'd like to hear from our listeners, though, and get your ideas. You never fail to enlighten us, and we appreciate it. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org, or check out our Facebook page and post your question or your comment there. Tell us where you like to go for the holidays to enjoy food and drink. We'll be right back. This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City, and I'm your host, Ann Fisher, on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. My restaurant reviewers for WOSU, Rich Terapak and Steve Stover, are with us today. And also Miriam Bowers-Abbott. She's restaurant reviewer for Columbus Underground. I want to remind folks that if you can find all of Rich and Steve's reviews on WOSU, just go to the – is it the blog? Or no, Chefs in the City.
WOSU.org/chefsinthecity.
Right. You can find all of their reviews, and I'm sure you can do the same at Columbus Underground. You can find all of Miriam Bowers-Abbott's
Opinions. Opinions. You can find all of my opinions.
All of her opinions on many things. Not just food, by the way. She's not like that. She doesn't silo
herself
very
well. I'm diverse.
That's
right. I have a lot of opinions.
So, but we'd like to hear our listeners' opinions, too. Don't be shy. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So we were just kind of getting started. I think that you're right. Worthington Inn, you talk about atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's that in spades. And Whitney House right across the street is
also
another great option if you're looking for that cozy, festive feel.
And huge sweet whirl. That cinnamon bun is terrific.
And, of course, they're the, you know, I was just looking at the Columbus Monthly Top 10. It's real interesting. Mm-hmm. 8 of the top 10 are 10 years or less old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought the only two that weren't were Refectory, which is 40 years old, and G. Michael's, which is
30?
25 or so, okay. Yeah.
20. Because okay. I called him to find out. La Tavola. Mm-hmm. I told you G. Michael's. Wolf's Ridge was number one this year. Veritas was number one last year, and I still think it's probably
Wolf's Ridge was number one 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We're headed there for a graduation dinner.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
And
Veritas
new would
party
be
space
your
there.
Quiet mm-hmm. has the really spectacular bar on the floor above, and now they've moved
you called it the most beautiful bar in the Midwest. I think it is.
It's just magnificent. And now they've moved to tasting menus. So if you want to just go down and have two or three small plates, there's just a little room in the bar for that. So that's changed it, but they're so popular that I think that's another one. What else is there?
How about the one hotel that I neglected to mention that's open for lunch would be the Levesque.
The Keep.
Which I love that bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a New York bar.
That's super cozy, too, if that's New York.
Yeah.
La Tavola, of course, mm-hmm. Rick Lopez's place, of which Lupo's is the younger sibling. Bazzi Italia should be on everybody's list.
Yes. Victorian Village.
Victorian Village.
With valet parking, don't forget.
And then Service Bar at Middle West Spirits and Watershed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're both in distilleries of all places.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and we've got High Point now, which is High Bank. I always mispronounce
it. What is it? High Bank. It's on Goodale. There are 3 restaurants in distilleries now.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the
restaurants. And of good quality.
Yeah. They're almost all chef-driven, and there are also dozens of chef-driven restaurants. Maybe not dozens, but many chef-driven restaurants in craft breweries.
Yeah.
Now, that isn't exactly what we were going for the holidays, but it might be.
Yeah, one of the things I think would be, if the weather is okay, one of the fun things to get over the river and through the woods is to go down to the inn at Cedar Falls for a nice – that could be a romantic dinner place.
Have you been to the Granville Inn?
Yeah, we're going this week. We have a wedding there this weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really improved.
Yeah,
beautiful decor.
Of course,
Rich. Yeah. We went to the new opening, which is several years ago, and the chef driven. But to duck back to Inn at Cedar Falls, when we didn't have kids at home, 2 Christmases, I took Mary down to the Inn at Cedar Falls for a night or two. Yeah. Little fireplace in our cabin and lovely dinner at the inn. Yeah. And I think that's a really good one.
Carissa in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Carissa.
Hi. I just wanted to throw out the Cameron Mitchell line of restaurants here. I remember as a kid going for special occasions and holidays to the Columbus Fish Market and Cap City. And so don't ask me what all of his restaurants are here in Columbus.
But well, they've kind of changed here and there, but I think the one in Linworth.
That's the original. It's 25 years old.
And it's
that's
still
Cameron's.
Fabulous. Yeah.
And there are 14 different Cameron Mitchell concepts, and there are going to be 2 more, as we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I can't keep track of them either, Carissa, so you're in company.
I looked at Spaggio when they were putting in the new one there in Grandview, but I haven't made it out there yet. So
okay.
Oh, the Avenue.
The Avenue. It's a good steakhouse. It's kind of like the top of Grandview.
And there's a new one in that's open in beautiful downtown Dublin, old Dublin.
Yeah,
another avenue.
Oh, all right. Well, Carissa, thanks a lot.
Yeah, we should have mentioned Spaggio. There's a good place to chat.
Not open for lunch anymore.
No, that's so sorry. Oh, it makes me sad. Yeah.
Why, though?
Too much,
you know,
I think.
They just
His buddy, Hubert's buddy, Hanky, retired at 68. I don't know when Hubert's going to retire. I mean, he can't keep up that pace.
He's 66, I think.
He can't keep up that pace. And I think that's part of it.
The thing about Spaggio is there's something for everybody. It's a great place. You can take the grandparents and you can take the kids. And with the pizzas and the pastas and Mother Seifert's meatloaf, but still very well done food and nice wines. And you've got the wine store next door. I think it would be a good holiday choice.
Yeah. Well, when Meatloaf came up, I thought of Cap City.
I just took the words right out of my mouth.
You know, it's actually we've got some relatives, in-laws coming in from out of town, and we wanted to do something kind of casual and comfort, and we're doing that.
Since they renovated it?
No, I have not.
There's a new sign up.
It opened a month ago, the one on Nolan Tangi.
Yeah.
Now there's a new snazzy one at the at Bridge Park in Dublin. That's the new Uber decor.
Okay.
And there's going to be another one
There's one in Stone Ridge. Is that the out on Morris and Hamilton?
Yeah. That would be closer for you.
So anyway, that's what we're making for dinner. I even went out and bought at Costco those onions. those dried onions you put on top.
Now, wait a minute. Are you making meatloaf or are you going to Cap City?
I'm making meatloaf. But it reminds me, what inspired me was the Cap City meatloaf.
You're going to do the whole treatment.
Yeah.
You're going to give it the Cap City
with the potatoes
treatment.
On top and the whole thing they do.
Yeah.
It's good.
And the chocolate cake.
Okay, now I'm getting hungry. You're listening to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City, and we're talking about holiday dining. Basically, we're just talking about food. This is a rambling stream of consciousness kind of conversation with Miriam Bowers-Abbott, restaurant reviewer for Columbus Underground, Rich Terapak, and Steve Stover, WSU food critics, cooking teachers, longtime cooking teachers, and bloggers.
What about the old guard? Think about Lindy's.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Spaggio.
And Lindy's, you know, an evening in German village during the holidays.
Yeah, nothing gets
nothing gets
and you can talk there, too.
Yeah.
It's bustly, but you can definitely talk.
Well, I think because they have enough fiber in there that it can soak up the sound a little bit.
Yeah. There's Hop, Barcelona, two other oldies.
Yeah.
Over near
Giuseppe's Retrovo.
Yes, in Bexley. And now they have the house wine right. I don't know if it's right next door. Down the street. Is it right next door? Yeah.
Bexley?
Yeah.
Yeah. House wine.
House wine.
Bexley.
And then
Main Street is getting to be another happening place.
It is.
And so you can go to Giuseppe's. You can go for a happy hour. You can then go to the movies at the Drexel.
That screams kind of holiday-ish too.
Yeah.
Giuseppe's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rich, what about the new fancy specialty restaurant in Bexley?
Oh, Bexley Premier Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Went there, but it was a kind of an occasion. I haven't been back for just an order of dinner off the menu. Went there for a party. Somebody put a lot of money into this facility. The second floor, you feel like you're on a luxurious cruise ship. It's just incredible.
But does the food taste good?
The food we had it was a kind of a set menu, and it was basically Russian. Russian, and it was really good.
It's self-described as European.
Yeah. Well, this night it was Slavic anyway. Yeah, it was good.
Eastern European.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's see. Doris in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Doris.
Hi. I live on the east side and eat frequently on those places on Main Street. I love them. Mm-hmm. But the thing I'm questioning for, older families, I'm 91 years old.
Wow.
And what we need is something easily accessible and fairly quiet so we can hear what all the family are saying. I know on Main Street I can get in and out with my rollators, but it's very difficult around German Village and other places.
Mm-hmm.
So what's suggestions?
Well, it's a little high end, but one of the places that's easily accessible and also quiet is M.
Mm-hmm. In Mironova, yeah.
In Mironova.
And they have a great happy hour.
And they have a great bartender.
And they have a large room that holds probably, it's a narrow room, large table, holds probably 16, that would be ideal for a family dinner.
And I would say refectory, all on one level.
Yeah.
Very quiet.
Yeah.
I'm parking, trying to think of some other places.
Easy parking.
You know, I've found
Actually, the Guild House is on one level, too.
I found the ambient noise problem to be pervasive in Columbus. And when you are eating with someone who's had hearing loss, they can't participate in any conversations. And I think her observation about that is something that I hope will be addressed in the long run in the restaurant scene, because there's just no – I find very few places to take people with hearing loss.
There was an article – Cameron has talked about this at various of his presentations, but it's a matter of, particularly for the millennial or Gen X, if you go into a quiet restaurant, you don't think it's any good.
Oh, yeah.
So they intentionally keep
crazy,
it noisy, hard surfaces, etc.
Loud music.
But for those of us –
I sound old, and it's not about that at all.
It's just, the tinnitus that develops with age really does hinder that kind of conversation that's so important to this kind of dining, as Steve says.
Something to think about. And it is something to think about if you're going out with – if you want to have a conversation, it's not just about the tacos, then you got to think about that. Doris, keep listening. Hopefully we'll be getting some suggestions from the rest of our listeners out there. Sarah in Grandview, you're on the air. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to mention the new concept by Katie Randazzo and Matt Higgins, Ambrose and Eve. It's on South High in the German Village Brewery District area.
Yep.
That's one of Steve's topics.
I've been there. Yeah. I was there this week.
Yeah.
Katie and was it David were cooks at the National –
the National Food
Food
Show.
Thing in March, and we saw them, and they said, we're going to open something. They actually operate four locations of Preston's Burgers. They're not standalone restaurants, but they're in other places. But they've been working on this for a very long time. It's in South High Street. It's near Antiques on High. It's not very far south of the
So before you get to Wendy's.
On the other side of the street, and it's real pretty. It's brick walls, a very nice bar. And it's they have brunch and dinner, and that looks to me that looks like they're riffs on new American favorites, veal, scallopini, liver and onions, and then there's some large. There are a lot of small plates, and then there are larger suppers: fried chicken or braised lamb shoulder, which sounded really good.
Yeah.
Mary had a breakfast sandwich with one of the best biscuits she's ever had, with marbled egg, raclette cheese, and really good bacon. And I had cornmeal crusted perch sandwich on a custom bun with sauce tartare and double cooked French fries. Both were $12.
Wait, double cooked French fries?
Yep, that's how they get them crispy. The classic way to make pommes frites is to cook them twice.
Okay. You know,
and some people even
like
do it three
times. Ritchie's has them. That's what makes them so good.
Well, I was going to say, I think your son has talked about making them that way. I never knew anyone double cooked French fries until I talked to Rich Jr.,
who
I think that's his preferred method.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's one of those things that I just assume not
know about. These French fries are great. They've been cooked twice.
Chicken and dumplings is another thing.
And Ambrose and Eve.
Anyway,
okay.
So give it a try. It's very new. It's only been open a week.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So give
they're
it a break.
Still
got to give it
tweaking,
some time.
Yeah. Tweaking and so I didn't review it.
Yeah.
I just went and talked to Katie and some of the staff. No judgment.
Well, and it's good to do. I mean, we've talked with some people about this that people run out to new restaurants, and so that's the reason we have to get them on paper or on the show really early on. But a restaurant doesn't get into a cycle, particularly in regard to kitchen and service, until about 3 weeks out.
3 weeks to 3 months.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, Miriam? We used to wait 3 months before we visited places. And very frankly, we're going really early now, sometimes in the first week or two, in large part because of social media. The restaurants want to get out there. They want you to do it now rather than to wait until everything is easy. So what do you think about that dichotomy, Miriam?
Well,
have a great soft opening.
Yeah. Well, so what I think is that restaurants have to expect this now too, right? You would be a fool to open your doors and think people aren't going to come and get in on Yelp and judge and write about it and talk about it. So right. I think it makes sense that the official media changes its approach too. I'll say at Columbus Underground, we kind of have it done in two parts. So you'll often see something by Walker or Lauren that says opening night or yep. preview, you know, and they'll mm-hmm. they'll say, we're just looking around. We're not reviewing it. We're just telling you what we see like right here. Yes, on first look. I guess that's what they call it, I think, first look. And then Miriam will roll by a month or two later.
The mm-hmm. serious.
Yes, the serious Miriam.
With
the
opinions.
The serious
with
opinions.
That's
with
what
opinions.
I think I'm going to do with Sweet Carrot and the Lox Bagel Shop. I'm going to do something I'm going to call Quick Bites. I'll show you a picture. I'll talk about the food. And then we'll go back later and review.
Yeah, I think that's why. Yeah.
I've got three or four
Someone's
of them. Someone's
a snapshot. Something else is a little bit deeper dig. Sarah in Grandview, thanks for that call. And just before we take off for a break, Katie in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I just wanted to add a quick reminder while we're talking about all these amazing restaurants to remember all the people in Columbus who are struggling with food insecurity. Mm-hmm. They're not going to the refectory. Mm-hmm. So while we get to go, I think it's important to add that to part of your tradition. Like, go to the Worthington Inn, go to the Guild House, but consider donating to the food bank too while
absolutely.
We're, you know, celebrating the holiday season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Sometime we had a Matt Habesh on. Who runs the food bank
right.
and talk about those kinds of uh-huh. situations and how people can volunteer to help or volunteer to supply product, et cetera.
Yeah. Miriam.
Very
yeah,
nice.
Miriam's
that was
got
really
something
nice.
To say here.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever talked to you all about my Holy Family experience, but they have lunch every
Holy
day.
Holy Family Kitchen?
Yeah. And every day they have an awesome spread, I would say. And most of it comes from Kentucky Fried Chicken. So they have volunteers that go pick up Kentucky Fried Chicken that's, I guess, you know, what was left in the fryer the night before.
Yeah.
And it is a fan.
Nothing like cold fried chicken, though. Yeah, I love that.
Well, you know, and they warm it up from a heater and stuff like that.
Where
but, you know,
that?
So there's even
Where's
restaurants are involved
Family
in this.
Is,
Holy Family is on West Broad near Mount Carmel.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's neat to see restaurant generosity in action.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that the church that also has a museum?
It is the church with the
it's
museum.
It's a special place.
Holy Family, it's a busy, busy place.
Yes, it is super busy. Katie in Clintonville, thank you for the reminder. You're absolutely right. So thank you for that.
One of the other things we were mentioning, I guess we can talk about it after break, is that not all groups of employees can go out for a three-hour lunch, somebody reminded me, particularly if you want to have a glass of wine.
Right, right, right.
So maybe when we come back, we can talk about holiday happy hours.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. We will be back. If you have a question or comment, want to chip in the conversation, tell us what you like to do for the holidays when it comes to eating out, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org, or check out our Facebook page. And post your comment there. We'll be right back. This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm Ann Fisher, and this is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about a holiday eats today with Miriam Bowers Abbott, restaurant reviewer for Columbus Underground, Rich Terapak, and Steve Stover, our WOSU food critics. Check out their reviews at WOSU.org/chefsinthecity.
Say that three times.
And if you want to contribute your ideas about holiday eating out, 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page and post your comment there. We have an email from Suzanne. She says, open for lunch during the holiday. Eddie Merlot at Polaris there yesterday. Excellent service and quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Good steaks.
We haven't mentioned Jeff Ruby's. I don't know if they're open for lunch, but I know they're open.
Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse.
Yes. I don't think that. I think I checked on that. I don't think they're open for lunch either.
And
I think they open at 4.
Wolf's Ridge is definitely open for lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. let's see. Kevin in Granville, you're on the air.
Did you say Kevin?
Yep.
I'm a D.C. native. We moved to Ohio in 06, and one of the things we miss on holidays when we have large families from the D.C. area, it was good dim sum, where you could go where the rolling carts were in a Hong Kong style. And I'll hang up, but if I'll listen to any comments you may have about where to get good dim sum in the Columbus area.
Okay.
Well, there are no carts that I know of in Columbus. The Fortune, which used to be in the University City Center, but there's now one on 161 at east of Sawmill. Place called Suntong Luck, but the original one, the one up in on Bethel Road, no longer has dim sum, but the original one in Bexley or that area, and then Sunflower in Dublin. Those are three dim sum places that
place that we went to last time with the dumplings that's Tibetan, but
Momogar.
You're not going to get a big family group.
You're not going to family group, but you can get takeout, and that is just terrific.
Mm. So, okay, if anyone has any ideas about dim sum in the Central Ohio area, give us a call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. It looks like Steve, you've been to Sweet Carrot lately.
They opened a third location. Yes, indeedy. I stopped by. It's north of 270. It's the third Sweet Carrot.
Yeah.
Here we're talking about young food entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Angela Petro, who owns Two Caterers, started her little shop at where the old Rife's Market at Grandview and Fifth Avenue. Great concept. You get a pancake. You can get a corn cake, macaroni and cheese, a salad, or something, a sandwich, and then you can put your choice of meat on it, smoked beef brisket, pulled pork, smoked turkey, Ohio chicken meatball, or delicious fried artichokes, and you put those on top, and fried artichoke hearts,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's the new, you know, the new sit-down fast food kind of thing.
Okay.
Fast service.
Fast casual kind of thing.
This is a really beautiful place.
Okay.
It's big, and they have their own smoker out back, and it's a really – she's really honed the concept. She calls it made-from-scratch comfort food, and literally everything in the place is made from scratch, which is something we all feel is very important. And so this is the third. There's one in Polaris, and so look for more of these. This is
Be working.
Columbus is a food incubator, which we talked about before.
Yeah, well, we just got some information from Mr. Boudreaux that there are now 41 city barbecues throughout the region.
And who knew? Yeah.
Talking about an incubator.
Exactly. The region being including Atlanta.
This isn't like a Johnny-come-lately incubator. It's been an incubator for a long time.
Yeah. I had two friends that gave them rave reviews for what they did on Thanksgiving. What, you know, when you look for a smoked turkey, that's on your Christmas menu.
Turkey breast.
The city barbecue does a great job of that.
Lots of people. It's part one of their traditions. Yeah. Monica in Columbus, you have a recommendation for dim sum. Hi. Dim sum. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually not in Columbus, but I would say if they're willing to drive to Cleveland, Lee Wah on Payne Avenue is amazing and better than any dim sum I've had in New York or Chicago. It's fantastic. It's been in Cleveland for, I mean, I'm 27. I started going there with my family when I was probably four or five.
Repeat the name of the restaurant.
Sure. It's called Lee Wah, L-I space W-A-H, I believe, and it's on Payne Avenue, and it's really, really great.
Lee Wah in Cleveland. Monica, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
This is how my brain thinks. I'm thinking, well, in San Francisco, there's Yang Sing and Todd Kiang. Yeah.
We can go there. Joellen in Galloway, you're on the air. You have an idea for dim sum.
Yes, you don't have to go to Cleveland.
Okay.
We have a very nice place. It's called Sunflower.
Right. Yes, that's what we're trying to think of.
Yeah.
Yes, and they actually have carts that get pushed.
Oh, they have carts.
Come on them.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you
there
go.
There you go. Now we have someplace
there
to go.
There you go, caller.
Right on Sawmill Road near Hard Road.
Yeah. Right. Well, Joellen, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Chris in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Yesterday, I was at J. Lou up in Worthington with a group of 26, and they handled us beautifully. It's easy access. Someone talked about accessibility.
Yeah.
And they had a large group just prior to us up in the party room, so I was expecting, oh, you know, we may get the end of the salad or something like that. And everything came out beautifully, and I saw things from chicken and noodles to veal parmesan to lovely salads with crab cakes and salmon, and everybody was thoroughly pleased with what they had. So I just wanted to put in a good word for them because they did a great job for us.
Yeah, J. Lou's is built for those big groups, that's for sure. Thank you and it's easy parking, free parking, extremely accessible. It's all one level, and it has an elevator to get up to the party room. So thank you, Chris. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org for your ideas for holiday gatherings out and about, food and drink. So what?
Yeah, we were talking, you know, I mentioned earlier about holiday happy hours. I think it's a good thing you can maybe cut out of the office at 4 o'clock, or you can gather a bunch of friends. Steve and Mary and Robert and I and the O'Shaughnessys have been doing happy hours. It's our substitution for the Blue Hair Special at MCL. But there are just all kinds of great places. And another one down in German Village is the South Village Grill, which has a wonderful happy hour. Lindy's would be terrific. G. Michael's also. Is it Marcella's also has
that? Yep. A lot of people think that's the best. Worthington Inn.
Yeah.
Yes, so, Worthington Inn does have a good one.
And that, you know, that makes for a nice, inexpensive early evening.
You have a little buzz on your home in time for the news.
or before Jeopardy.
That's right.
Guys. Wow, Barrel of Fun here on All Sides, Weekend Chefs in the City. Email from Nanu. We have a couple of vegans in the house and wondering about your take on a few options and any restaurant that has both vegan and non-vegan combined. Tough.
Yeah. You know, almost every restaurant we've talked about has vegan option.
Yeah. Call ahead.
Yeah.
Miriam, what?
What is the new place? I was just there. It's all plant-based, and I'm sure some of the items are vegan. Just because plant-based
keywords,
I know. I'm pantomiming.
Sounds like
near Children's Hospital. It's brand new.
Oh, I know. I can't remember the name of it. It's
oh my gosh.
It's
so sad
near
that
Children's
I can't
Hospital. Vegan.
It's got a play on words.
It's not vegan.
It's all plant-based.
Plant-based.
Commune. That's right.
Commune. I think we have some.
Thank you.
Wait a minute.
You win the
Jason
prize.
In Westgate was first. Jason, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just calling to put a shameless plug for my friend Brooke and his business partner Joe for Commune.
Okay.
And for sticking with it, they've been at that renovation for a long time. So I'm glad they got
it. Oh yeah, it's been a wonderful thing to watch that come to fruition. But they have a really great dish that they're calling crispy rice, and I've had the pleasure of having that at Brooke's place. Just to test it out, and I'm not going to eloquently describe it very well, but they have a fantastic mushroom dish in there that is just one of the best that I've had.
Got to get down.
I have a pronunciation question for you, because you're saying it commune, and I thought it was commune because it's one M, but I don't want to be stupid. So if you're friends with the owners, it's actually commune?
So, yes.
It's commune.
It's commune. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But it's a little tricky for parking, but worth the walk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, thanks a lot.
Park behind the CVS.
Okay. Park behind the CVS. Tricks of the trade there. Savan in Gahanna, you're on the air. Hi, Savan. Oops, sorry.
Hey, I just wanted to share with you guys that my daughters and I always go to the Asian Gourmet up in Stone Ridge Plaza for Christmas Eve. And the service is great. The food is fantastic. They can serve larger groups. It's single level, so it's very accessible. And we have a great time, and the kids look forward to it all year long.
That's great.
I love
Thank
traditions.
You.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Savan, for that. Did I pronounce your name right?
You did. It's Siobhan. It's the Irish way.
Siobhan. Okay, great. Okay. Anyone else? We still have a few minutes. 614-292-8513.
I've got a couple of breaking news things here. Real quickly. The Locks Bagel Shop happened in there. It's in the former location of Lantibe and Home Fair on Warren near High Street. And it is Kevin Crowley, who used to be with North Star, is the founder and owner. But Silas Caton, who was the opening chef at Veritas in Delaware and was did stints at Rigsby's and most recently at Koseka. And there it's a really upscale version of the classic deli. Everything is going to be made from scratch, including the lox and the Nova and the pastrami. And they have this bagel thing. They were practicing making bagels when I popped in there. Some homemade desserts and scoopable salads. So stay tuned for a full report on that.
It's great to be getting some deli action, with Harvey and Ed's and
it's
now this. And,
ironic that it's within a block and a half of Harvey and Ed's.
It's smart, though, too. I mean,
we need that
confluence or whatever.
Really
good works.
Homemade bagels. Swenson's, the drive-in, started in 1934 in Akron, is open on right across the street from Sweet Carrot. You can do them both on the same day, which I might have.
Car hops on roller skates?
Real car. No, they're not on roller skate, but real car hops, which is really – and they have the Galley Boy hamburger. Yeah. Cameron Mitchell finally announced the concepts for the North High thing. There's one called Del Mar – which is a Mediterranean concept.
That's going to be on the ground floor of this
And then
building.
Montauk is the roof. But according to the press release, there are two different buildings, 705 and 711. Stay tuned for that. And finally, on October 31st, there was a full-page article in the Chicago Tribune about Columbus as the home of Johnny Marzetti,
which I've had since, a child. I mean, it's one of the other things we have to look forward to next year, next time we're on the air. Hopefully, Shake Shack will be near completion out at Easton. It's great to get them into town. It's the concept from Union
Burgers,
Square.
Burgers, fries, and shakes?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Danny Meyer.
Danny Meyer of
And Johnson's is opening a place in Chicago.
In Chicago. That's great.
You're an East Side guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Johnson's Ice Cream.
Yeah.
It's
one
a crazy
one
time.
Of the family was in graduate school there, and that's the reason they're starting.
Well, fellow hosts, I wish you every happy holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, take your pick, whatever floats your boat. Rich Sherapack, thanks so much as always.
Thanks, Ann. You too. Have a great Christmas.
Steve Stover, as always,
thank you.
Happy holidays. And Miriam Bowers Abbott, what a special treat to have you on with us. We really appreciate
it. Always fun.
Oh, thanks for including me.
Yeah.
Miriam Bowers Abbott, she's restaurant reviewer for Columbus Underground. You can see all of her opinions on the Columbus Underground. Check it out. And also Rich and Steve, you can see their reviews at WOSU.org/ Chefs in the City. I keep wanting to say All Sides. That's it today for All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm Ann Fisher, and you are listening to 89.7 NPR News. Thanks so much.